I'm just enjoying a foot bath with a cup of coffee and some cheese, and I'm listening to the bird song. It's very quiet today. So you can probably tell I don't rush off on a Monday morning to go to work. That's not really part of how I could cope with, living my best life. Now, a lot of people either don't think about structuring their lives so that they're living their best life, or it doesn't occur to them that they could. They've got into a habit, perhaps, of not doing so. And some people even just hate themselves, so they deliberately run counter to what they'd really like so that they have this constant feeling of beating themselves up. What I want to suggest today is you can only enjoy life and get anywhere in life and be of any sort of constructive use to anybody else at all by really being you. Now, I know we live very much in an age where there's quite a big division between the herd common good concept, so you should always be thinking of others and sharing everything and look at me and don't be selfish and all that. You need to feel that you're part of a group community in some way. And then that's at variance with the other end of the idea where you go out and you self-actualize. You lie in a bath for an hour somewhere and someone beats a gong and somehow, in some way, you're self-actualizing. You're just coming in on the inner me. And, each of these things has their place. But it seems to me the whole of modern life, the main thrust of it is to throw you in so many directions for a start that you're constantly, every day, you're living in a state of confusion because you're not quite sure where you should be putting your energy and you're feeling distracted all the time. And so the main thrust of it all is that you never really have enough you time to discover who you are and what you want and how you'd like to run your life. A great deal of motivation and success material is about trying to actualize your ability to make more money, but that's not my purpose here. I don't think money does very much over and above paying bills. And even if someone hasn't got enough and you help them, again, the money you have helped them with is only going to pay bills, essentially. So money is, predominantly a bill-paying thing. It's not actually going to help you to live your best life in any way. I mean, don't get me wrong, pianos, cost a lot of money, but if I asked around, perhaps someone would give me a piano, because often people don't want pianos and they actually come to me and say, "Do you know how I could get rid of this piano?" For example, So my idea is not, it's not money driven, okay, or it's not about building wealth. It's about becoming your best you. In other words, you self-actualize to the point where your entire life is, built around who you can best be and who you feel most comfortable being. And that's not about sticking into a rut. You can be constantly challenging yourself, but you create for yourself a platform where you feel totally at one with who you've been, who you are right now, and who you want to be. And probably very few people ever get to that state. You can be, if you want, you can be so much more. But you do need to give yourself the platform. And if you spend too much time running around doing chores for other people, your energy is being sapped away. And then when you do have time for yourself, you tend to just chill out and relax and put your feet up and go blank, and find entertainments which help you to go blank because you just need to reinvest what energy you want, to come back to you. If you can lead a more self-actualized life, that's running around your timetable and what you want to eat, when you want to eat it, and what you want to wear. I mean, one of the biggest problems with doing, say, an office job, which is very 9-to-5 structured, is that you would have a lunch break. And what to eat during the lunch break is a problem, because you may not want to eat during the lunch break. I never eat, almost never eat at lunchtime. What's, you know, what is lunchtime? I don't know, somewhere in between, say, 12 and 3. That's the one time in the day when I don't want to be eating. That's one of my more productive times. I'm going from very, very thinking-orientated to much more action-orientated. I will probably have my main meal from about 8 o'clock in the evening. So, you know, I'm not... I do like to eat well. I like to have a plate of, you know, nice-looking, well-presented food. But I'm not using food to fill up time, and that is very largely what someone does when their day is broken into a consecutive, you know, two-way system where they have morning and afternoon, and in between there's lunch. And so you just eat something because it's a ritual, a habit, and you may not want to have anything to eat. So what do you eat? You tend to eat sandwiches or something along that line where you've got some bulk carbohydrate, and it's just filled with stuff that distracts you from how boring and cardboardy the bulk carbohydrate is. It's a utilitarian thing. It fills up time, and it saves you from thinking all afternoon, I'm starting to feel hungry now. You know, if your life is run around that, your whole body and brain system is trying to feed off of that. You know, most of your ability to think comes from what's going on in your stomach. If your stomach only has a little bit of light salad in it, you're actually going to be able to think much better than if your stomach is trying to plough its way through starch, which is carbohydrate. And most sort of easy, quick lunches are carbohydrate based. I mean, if you go into a shop and it's got, say, it's got cigarettes and newspapers and then stuff that people can have for lunches, you know, there might be a bowl of salad, but it'll be pasta. There might be baguettes, there might be wraps, there might be sandwiches, but it's all the same kind of thing, isn't it? And it's not what I would want for a lunch. The only time I would want to eat any of that sort of stuff is on a very long journey of, say, at least 5 hours driving, and only because it's easy to hold in one hand. But I can just as easily make myself a tray of cut chicken breast and some salad vegetables and perhaps a banana. You know, I don't have to buy into the carbohydrate factory processed foods at all if I take a little bit more time and effort on it. And the more that you get away from ritualized eating times, and the more that you get away from any kind of food that is factory processed in any manner at all, and that includes the sauces that you put on. So I've got meat and a vegetable, but you've gone and put some sauce on the meat or the vegetable. You know, you're getting your E numbers in there one way or another. You need to go through your cupboards and very carefully think, why have I got this stuff here? I mean, there's always going to be stuff like, you know, for a lot of people, it's Chinese five spice, and it's 15 years old and you haven't used it, and you could bin it, you know. I use Chinese five spice quite a lot because I do a lot of wok stir fries, but there will be an ingredient that's just been sitting there for a long time and you haven't got rid of it because you think you might need it. But have a look at the sauces and things. What role do they play, you know, in your meal development? I mean, imagine for a moment going for, say, 2 to 3 weeks without adding anything to your food other than perhaps some lemon juice or some herbs. You just do without the sauces altogether. And then see how you feel. See how your brain is correlating. And what's happened is you've cut out E numbers. E numbers, whether they're specially designed to or not, absolutely you know, block your neural pathways and stop you from thinking very lucidly. You're thinking in tunneled thought, which is tending you towards what the herd does, because for some reason you think it's a good idea. Most of what the herd does is a ritual. It's come through hundreds of years. You know, there is no need to sit in an office from 9 to 5. You could sit in an office from 8 till 3, or just the afternoon, or just the morning, or, you know, just a couple of days a week or whatever, or just have a little workspace at home and do the same things. Much of work life in Britain, anyway, is ritualised because it goes with the flow. It pleases the greatest number of people. You know, for some reason, it's considered a good idea that we have 2 rush hours in a day. In fact, there were 3 rush hours because everyone goes to school and work. Kids come home from school. People come home from work. So I thread my life around those. And when I go out driving, I think to myself, am I going to get messed up in any of the rush hours? You know, I deliberately go out wherever I go, so I'm out and about when other people's cars are sitting in the office car park or the school car park or the drive at home or wherever it is. But I don't go out in maximum times, so I almost never drive anywhere on a Saturday. Saturday is the worst day of the week because you got all the people that were so busy rushing to work. Suddenly on a Saturday, they're not rushing anywhere. And they're driving like hedgehogs, and they take 4 times as long to fill up the car with petrol. You know, you are not going to go anywhere on a Saturday, no matter how hard you try. That's the zombies' day out. So try and think your life around the people, ritual, you know, busting rush hours and so on. My life is incredibly calm because I almost never get messed up with the crowds of other people. You know, I very, very rarely, if ever, go to an event where I'm going to be one of a crowd. Whether it's, you know, I don't know, an audience watching someone on a stage or whatever. I don't want to be part of the crowd concept, the herd. I just want to be an individual, you know, feeding into and out of my own vibes. People are rather like, you know, radio receptors. They amazingly, you know, antennae all these vibes coming in. So the person next to you is unhappy and this person's happy, and you're now in a conflict because your body is trying to cope with happy and unhappy vibes. Just maintain a good distance, like ideally several miles, between you and any other human being. And then you can start to correlate your own vibes, your own heart rate as well. It's very important. And you can sit around on Monday daytimes and just think how calm and peaceful it is. And then you can start to think what you would do if this was your reality all the time. And just start, very gentle little steps, getting your life to run in that direction, whatever direction is you want. You might love, you know, being part of rush hour twice a day, 5 times a week. You might thrive on that, having those boring lunches at lunchtime. Even the word lunchtime is a bit suspect, isn't it? Why do you eat lunch? Why does anyone eat lunch? You know, you can either go through the day and have something later once a day, or you could have something mid-morning or early morning, but your body doesn't need to be digesting food 3 times a day. You know, the words breakfast, lunch, dinner suggests that everyone has to follow a ritualized pattern. It probably doesn't work for your life at all, and then you wonder why you're winding down and getting ill. Just the fact that you're forcing food of a very boring type, that's not really you, into your body 3 times a day is enough over several years to make you wind down. You know, the main reason you feel tired is you're following someone else's timetable. Get to a point in life where you create your own timetable, you wear the clothes you feel like wearing that day, you drink spring water, You know, you don't do other people's stuff. You do what you want. It's not about being selfish. It's about being self-realized, because you are a complete individual who's only existed at this moment in history, and you're not going to exist again. Anyone else that exists will be different to you. It's quite an exciting adventure to start to discover what is more you. What do you feel drawn to? What makes you feel calm? Do you like being, you know, stimulated? What stimulates you? Must you do those things? Can you imagine a calm life of an artist or something? You know, don't look forward to the big retirement. It's going to be an awful flop when you get there. You won't like it. You won't be in the rush hour twice a week, twice a day, five times a week. You'll feel a sense of horror. You won't like it. Correlate your life in a completely different way now, however many years it takes you, so you don't have a retirement. That's a new concept, and I want you to take it on board. I want you to ask yourself why you're wearing the clothes you're wearing, why you're clocking in at such and such an hour, doing something for someone else. How can you self-actualize what you really want to do in the best way that you can, and why are you eating three meals a day at set times? What do you really want to eat? When do you really want to eat? Why are you so wrapped up in the people thing? I want you to go your own way, be your person. I realise that if you're stuck in a rut, it's not going to be easy. Sometimes people can just jump out of the rut. Like next week, you could be somewhere else doing something else, wearing something else, eating something else. But it will probably take you years to very slowly move incrementally from the rut you're in now to the wonderful path of self-actualization, where you don't need to retire because you're already living.